Wonderful to see you this morning. I'm Kenji Paulson, and I have the honor of reading today's scripture, 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 17. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere, for we are the aroma of Christ, to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To another, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ.
Check, check. Hey, you can hear me now? Good. Thank you, Kench. I appreciate that. Man, I love that we just get to get together and read, and I'm excited for today. So let's pray. Lord, we just want to start with yes. We want to follow you where you want us to go. Would you lead us today and every day? And Holy Spirit, we invite you here. I pray that just like the blood of Jesus over this place this morning, and that there would be freedom and grace and hope, and that we would have courage to trust you personally, especially where we are struggling to, where we are searching. God, would you help us see and dig into your word and find joy and more of you? And would you anoint? Please speak, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Well, almost a month ago, Kenj and I were driving home from Boise, and we're hanging out, we're just talking, and I was kind of talking to her about message ideas, because Greg had texted me, and I was kind of excited, and I was like, okay, August is busy, okay, I got to start planning, start thinking. And so I'm talking to her and telling her areas I've been in Scripture, where God has me, what I think God wants to speak or say, and there was this moment where I say, oh man, so-and-so church is doing this super cool series. And man, I wish I would have thought of that. Like, dang it, that is perfect. That's exactly where God has me. And it's just such a cool idea, and I think they started it last Sunday. And Kenj goes, oh, I listened to it. And I was like, oh, and she's like, did you listen to it? Yeah, I was like, no, I haven't checked it out yet. And she goes, man, it's so good, it's so relevant. It's like this whole thing about how God has recommendations for you and how the world, all the time, the world's recommending so many things. And literally, I don't know if you know this, but you can get into your settings on your social media and you can go and you can click a button that says algorithm and it tells you what it's recommending to you and why. And it's crazy. And I was like, man, that's so cool. And Ken's just like, man, the message is so good. That is a cool idea, Corey. And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. That's not the message I was talking about. And she's like, what? And I was like, are you sure you listen to this Sunday? And she's like, yeah, for sure. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. You might accidentally listen to the wrong one. You know, I've done that before. And she's like, I'm pretty sure that I listened to the right one. And I was like, well, maybe it hasn't started yet. Maybe they did an extra week because the last one's going good. Or maybe they put it off or something. And she's kind of like, oh, well, I don't know. And we're driving. So the conversation just kind of moves on. And I'm just kind of confused. Like the rest of the drive, all the other talk, I'm still like, what? What's she talking about? Like, I know what I'm talking about here, I think, you know, and I'm questioning. And so we get home and, you know, she's putting kids to bed or doing stuff or whatever. And I go to my room and I grab my phone, and I throw my AirPods in and I'm like, play. And it's like, welcome to so-and-so church. Our new series recommended for you. And I'm like, dang it. You know, a little humble pie happens for me. And I'm like, well, maybe it was this other one. So I go to their podcast, hit play. Nope, not that one. Oh, it's got to be this other one. Go to their podcast, hit play. Nope. And I'm just like, what the heck? What was I even talking about? I don't even know where this came from. And as I sat there, I was thinking, and all of a sudden I had this thought like, oh shoot, I think I just dreamt that. And I was so sure, man. I was like, yeah, they started on Sunday. Blah, 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 blah. It was this day. I was like so positive. And then I was like, oh, wait a second. I think that was just a dream. And I was like, dumb, Corey, what are you talking about? And I love that this happened because I think I know what God was doing a little bit. I think God had a message for us today and for next week. And the series title that I made up and told to Kenji was about to happen, it was called Altar Call. And I was going, man, the Corinthians and where they're at and where they're going, man, you know why I think I couldn't find it is because it's supposed to be a Lighthouse podcast sometime. Yeah. Amen. I love that. I love that. And what I want to say is God is still speaking to his people. And we might think that's a funny story or corny or whatever, but I'm telling you, that is real. Like, that's a hard one to make up. Like, I was just wrong. I don't love getting up on a mic and being like, hey, I was wrong. But it was the Lord speaking to me, and I think it's the Lord speaking over you. And so welcome to week one of Altar Call. I think in life there are seasons, and so much of it is fun and good and exciting, and life is such a good adventure. I love it. I also think sometimes life has this thing called problems. And I don't know about you or how your week has been, but I think we uniquely understand this as a community right now. Like sometimes there's some serious problems in life. Life is hard. And the crazy thing is sometimes when it gets hard, it's not like, okay, I noticed that was hard for you, Corey, so we're just gonna take a break. No more problems now. That's easy. This end of summer, let's just relax and enjoy the rest of summer. No, that is not how it goes. Man, it is like one thing after another, and this happens and that happens, and I'm stressed about this, and this is stressing our whole community out, and all these different things are going on. And I just want to ask you, can you look up at me real quick? Good job being here. I am aware that your life probably has some of those too. Good job. Maybe like pat your neighbor on the back and say, hey, I'm proud of you. There you go. There we go. I love it. I love it. Great job. Tell them you're proud of them. And I want you to know that we have been praying for you. And we've been praying every day, like all the time. Like people came in this morning. We had team meetings. We prayed over things. People, I have friends that just came in with me and we just grabbed some youth kids and we're like, hey, we're going to pray over every single seat. So the seat you're sitting in has been prayed over this morning, and we're praying for you to experience what God is doing for you and in your life for our people. And I love to ask this question. Thank you. I love to ask this question. The question is, before you're going to get up onto a platform, one of the big questions you got to ask, or at least I love to, is what do you need? Like, what do you need this morning right now in your life? What do we need as a city? What do we need in the world? What do we need in our church? And what do we need right now? And can I just encourage you and point you to the real Jesus in that? Like, not just solve the surface of it. Like, let's look at what we really need. And if you'd like to take notes, the first thing I want us to lean on is just our first point is Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. You want to say it one time with me? See, love it. I love it. I love it even coming from all the different angles at the same time. And I get that this is kind of Christianese talk, but I think we need to see it. I think we need to say it and to believe it. And I think we need his presence and we need his heart and we need his hand in our lives. I need his hand in my life. And I know that I need to know that he's speaking to me. When I don't hear from the Lord, there's something in me that struggles. And so the reason I want to say Jesus is alive and he's near and he's speaking, man, it's found in 2 Corinthians. So 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. You see, part of why that has to be our first point is because the verse we're reading right here, that verse is after Jesus died. Okay? So if that verse is after Jesus died, we kind of have a problem because dead things don't generally move. I don't know about you, but I've never seen that happen. And here, Christ is moving. He is writing the word through his spirit, through Paul, and dead things don't generally move. And so here Christ is moving, and it all hinges on this. Like, if we can't trust this or lean into this, man, how can we ask God to speak to me? How can I ask God to do something in our city or in our church or in our lives? The Old and New Testament is this continuous story, and it's the acts of the disciples and the apostles and the actions of the church into the New Testament and the letters that go out, and it all hinges on this, and it's all pointing to him. They are based on Jesus being alive. He's got a plan. Even in a car ride from Boise. And sometimes when we don't see it coming. So for us to read text and to actually see it, we have to get this a little. And the harder part is probably this. We don't just need to see this or hear this. We actually need to live like it. Like, I can't be afraid to tell a corny story of something God is doing. I have to understand Corinthians, and to understand Corinthians, my faith must be placed in the living Jesus. Even in my brainstorming and prep time, even in just rough ideas and all this stuff, Jesus is alive. And so what is he doing in our text? And what it said was he's leading in a triumphal procession. And I like that. Sounds good. Like, let's be in the triumph one, not in the other one, okay? But to understand Paul's illustration, I just want you to, like, close your eyes and just relax for just a second. And I just want you to imagine this. So there's this victorious Roman general, and he's returning from war. And this is, like, the highest honor of a general in these times. Paul's not making up an illustration. He's using powerful, real that they would understand to help explain what God is doing here. And he wants to come alongside it with promises and truth. This general must have won a very decisive victory. And in order to get this parade, it really is like a really big deal. I have done a bunch of research on it that it probably doesn't even matter. But one of the criteria, this is so crazy to me, you had to kill at least 5,000 enemy troops. And in that process, you had to take over all the land. And so not only did you have to win the war, you got to take now. And you got to expand Rome. And these generals would march through the city in this massive parade. And according to World History Encyclopedia, they estimate that multiple times these parades are over 150,000 people in attendance. Like, the Roman procession would have moved through the streets of Rome with state officials and trumpeters and floats, and they're displaying the spoils of war, and there's gold, and there's, man, all kinds of exotic animals, and there's art from the people they conquered, and there's sacrificial bulls, and there's priests swinging incense, and all these crazy things going on. The general is riding on a chariot, most likely wearing purple, because that was expensive, and a wreath, and he's almost viewed as a god for the day. Like, this is his moment. And back in the back, there are these captives that are being led through the city to shame them, the ones that lived. And those people are being led to a lifelong prison sentence or work prison sentence or to death. And it's a pretty wild thing to, like, beat somebody and then drag them through the streets. And depending on where you are, like, they would ask people to line the streets with incense and different things to make it smell good. And depending on where you land in the battle, that smell lands a little differently. We have some examples of parades in our lives, but I think we have to take this up a notch from Western days. No offense to Western days. I know you're doing a great job, man. That's a lot of work. I was trying to like think of the right example as like, I don't know, but maybe like Macy's coming through twin, you know, the Macy's Thanksgiving parade, or like, you know, in Aladdin when Genie's like, oh, look at the feathers, you know, and he's like getting all excited about the big parade when he's showing Aladdin who he really is. And like, that's, I think, a little bit more of what we're talking about here. And verse 14 says, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. So our general is Jesus. And what is he doing? He's leading in victory. Well, that's awesome. But secondly, I think we need to lean into this other word, and it's a pretty strong word. I really like it. It's just the word always. What a promise. Because the enemy is going to attack you on this. I really want to focus on it for just a second. Life has both physical and spiritual things going on. There are battles happening. And God's promises aren't maybe. They're not sometimes. They're not if you would just be a better person. Or if you would this, or if this, or this, or this, or this. It's always. And that is the promise for those in Christ. And a few verses before our text, Paul is actually sharing some of his own story, and he does this throughout Corinthians. But what has been going on in his life, if you look back, has been hard. And he's been struggling. And I think we think, oh, he's the writer of a bunch of books of the Bible. Man, his life was easy. It was perfect. Look at all his gifting. Look how he healed people. Look at how easy and good his life was. If I only had it as easy as Paul had it, I'm like, man, look a little closer. Verse 12 and 13 is literally him saying, man, I really want to go do ministry at this place. And I was excited. And the door opened for ministry. But man, I was so stressed out. I was so anxious. My bro is missing. I love this man. He's gone on mission trips with me. And I can't even get up on the stage because I'm so stressed about him. I can't find him anywhere. And then he shows us his transition. And it's kind of easy to miss. But he's like, man, I had some problems. And then in our verses, he says, but thanks be to God. Like, maybe you got some problems, but thanks be to God. Do you see? That's the transition from the problem. And I just love you to say that with me real quick one time. Oh, man. Sorry, I didn't help you there. I did not do a good job. Okay, it's but thanks be to God. Let's try again. Ready? One, two, three. Okay, a little louder. One more time. Oh, man, I love it. Okay, so he went from his problem to his promise. And the way he did it is, but thanks be to God. So we're struggling, but thanks be to God. And then it says, who in Jesus always leads us in the winning parade. This is going from the problem to the promise. And do we see the impact? Like, this is for you. This is for me. This is how we hide and why we hide God's word in our hearts. Because we need a response when the problems happen. It is coming. You are not called to just go take it easy and collect seashells on the beach. Like, I'm sorry, sounds good. Maybe that's part of heaven. Love it. Great. Go do that in heaven. But right now, you're still in it. And man, even if you just memorize a little bit of scripture at a time, what if this week, one time, you were just like, listen, I don't even remember the reference to the verse, but my AC went out, but thanks be to God. I'm not sure the transition all the way yet. I'm halfway. I got the but thanks be to God. I'm not just going to wallow in the hard. I'm going to say God is going to speak because Jesus is alive. So, but thanks be to God. I don't see it yet, but I'm getting there. And man, I love this idea because if you look at your life and you think about it, man, there are wins for you. Life is not all hard. And man, walk through that in Christ, but we do live on earth. And there are other seasons. And how many of us in this room are going through some battles? How many of you are feeling it right now? And you're not feeling always. Like, that ain't what I'm feeling. I'm feeling problems. I'm feeling that stress. I'm feeling that anxiety. I honestly, this is crazy. I was sitting outside on my porch on one of the only non-smoky nights 2 weeks ago, and I texted this guy like really randomly. I was writing this section, and I just said, hey man, I'm supposed to be doing something totally different. I'm supposed to be prepping for Sunday, but you're on my mind, and I'm thinking of you. How can I pray for you? And I just send this random text out of the blue. I haven't texted this guy in like a few months. I just random, no, nothing. I was just, how can I pray for you? What's going on? And he texts me back. He goes, man, I'm looking for a place to live. Please be praying for me for that. And I was like, that's awesome. And I prayed. I was so bad, I didn't text him back even. I just prayed. No text back, nothing. 3 hours goes by. This is kind of typical for me. I'm sorry. Please forgive me for that, friends who text me. But anyways, 3 hours goes by, and I look at my phone. It buzzed, and I have another text. And the text says, hey, man, truth, I just wish God would like me again. And I was like, man, haven't we all been there? Doesn't life bring us to that place sometimes? We have all had that season. Man, you are not alone in that. And I think sometimes it's like, man, I'm just a failure. Life's just hard. I am anxious. I feel alone. How come nothing's working out? Maybe I'm not called. Why am I not wealthy? Why am I not as pretty? Why am I fill in the blank? And we get real stuck on these problems, and we got to interrupt problems with promises. And we need a way to transition. I love this idea because Scripture speaks into it so well. So somebody goes, hey, man, I'm just defeated. Well, in our text, 2 Corinthians 2, it says Christ is always leading us in triumph. And I'm going to lean on that second half, not that first half. Oh, man, I'm living in anxiety. And sometimes it's easier to just live in anxiety than even try. But thanks be to God, because Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, I would really be happy if I just had some money. Man, that'd be nice if I just fix all my own problems. I don't even need God. I got so much money. I just fix every problem myself. I don't even have to ask him. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I feel lonely. I feel alone. There's nobody in my life. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. I am afraid, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to happen. Isaiah 41:13, I, the Lord your God, am the God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do you see it? This is why we hide God's word in our heart, because God's promises are his voice. They're what breaks the struggle of your season. I'm not saying it's always boom, but man, when you hang on to that, I don't know, maybe you're like, oh, that's for people who've gone to church for a long time. Maybe that's for people who are trying to, I don't know, do some mission work. Maybe that's for people who want to go walk through Spain for 400 and something miles. Like, what a stud. Man, that is crazy. I love that. Yeah, cheer her on. Clap her on for that. That's awesome. The promises of God are for people who are getting to know Jesus. They are not for perfect people. They are not for people who have it all figured out. They are for people who are pouring in, asking God for help. And man, I get the struggle of some of that, but can I just ask you like a simple question? Think about some of your relationships in life. Like, I want you to think of like the best friendship you have. Like, are you just, like, does that ever work if I'm just like, you know, I just really want them to do everything. You know, you're my best friend, but I'm never going to call you. I'm never going to invite you. I'm never going to do anything to serve you. I'm never going to pray for you. Man, I'm never even going to be around you unless you do it. Unless you do this, unless you do this, unless you do this, unless you do. Man, that relationship is, that's not your best friend. I promise. But sometimes I almost treat God that way. I'm like, God could do everything. And I think God's like, actually, I love to invite you into the story and for you to respond to my love for you. And if we don't talk to him or get to know him or read his word or believe him, man, with my friend who was texting me, I just wanted to reach through my phone and be like, I'm so sorry. Dude, life is so hard sometimes. That stinks. But bro, you gotta lean in to this trial and hold on to the promises of God. It's the path. You don't get to go around storms and still grow. It's through, but the only way we get through is with the peace of Jesus. And he always leads us in triumphant procession in that. Okay, we gotta keep moving. Parades follow battles, and he does like you, always. He never stopped. You aren't alone because God seems quiet. Why am I suffering? I just want to show you one more real quick. The why am I suffering question, man, that's going to come sometimes. If you have a Bible, you can flip back one page or you can just listen. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So don't stop yet. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Can I just translate that real quick? Paul's saying, I wanted to die. I was struggling, and I wanted to die. Check out verse 9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But, I like when Paul puts that word in there, that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. When you feel like you want to die, sometimes things are almost like you are. And Paul's like, that's so that I would rely on God who raises the dead. And then he says, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer. Like, man, are you praying for people? Sorry, that smoke has me a little bit coughing a little bit. I know that section of scripture is for us because I didn't know Dave was going to put it in before his message. And because I didn't know Ron was going to put it in his message when I wrote that before I heard either of their messages. So when God repeats things, man, listen. Rely on God who raises the dead. Jesus isn't here to take from you. And when life starts having problems and you start being this weird Christian that's like, well, thank the Lord still. Thank the Lord that my tire blew up. Thank the Lord that, you know, this happened. Thank the Lord that this happened. Sometimes you don't see it right away. Thank the Lord that I had this conviction that, you know, I really should work out before I order this burger in line a couple weeks ago. I know we laugh, but I was in that line going to get in and out. And I was like, man, there's no way you're going to the gym after this. And I backed up and got out of line and drove to the gym. Just saying, I don't know. That's crazy. We rely on God who raises the dead. You didn't lose your mind or become some weird Christian in that moment. Listen, if you aren't there yet, if you're struggling and you don't know what you think about all this stuff, good job being here. You are searching, and that's okay. You don't have to have this all figured out. Good job. It's going to be messy. Christians are messy. Keep searching. Jesus has promises for you. 2 Corinthians 2:14 and 15, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, and the other, a fragrance of life to life. So our third takeaway is you smell. It's kind of hot up here. Sorry. You know. Now, actually, you can hit the next slide. You do smell. Oh, that you skipped a slide, I think. There should be one more. That's okay. Go back to you smell. We don't. Oh, there we go. You smell and it's good. Okay, so that's what I was trying to get to. I thought that was a funny joke. I didn't line that up very well. For years, I prayed, God, what's your will for my life? What am I supposed to do? I'm willing. Send me. Do I even have any gifting? I feel kind of purposeless. I'm not sure what I'm even doing at all. And those are good prayers. That's not wrong or anything like that. Man, ask the Lord those questions. But I really think it's right here. This is your call. This is purpose and mission and calling. Our calling is to spread the knowledge of God and be the aroma of Christ. You are called to smell like Jesus wherever you go. And I know Paul might have struggled with this a little bit because he addresses it multiple times, but it says to God. So first and foremost, we got to remember, man, if I'm afraid of what people think about my smelling like Jesus, Corey, you got to get out of the way. And you got to make sure it's to God first. The aroma is to God, among people, and then to people. So it's this unique verbiage here, and it kind of, man, it's kind of confusing, but I just want to ask this question, like, is God proud of you? Then you're good. Like, stop worrying about what I think. Don't think about what they think. Like, you get to trust God. And with all that, think back to that Roman procession. It's both to the free and the captive. And so to some, man, they smell you. And it's like accepting the invitation Jesus has. Man, it smells good. It's full of grace. And we smell like sweet life and redemption. But to others, we smell like death because there's this spiritual conviction. And it's a reminder that they're not walking in the procession in the place they want to be. And I just want to encourage you, a lot of people don't like the smell at first, but over some time, smells draw us in. And it's very interesting to me because, man, with fragrance, like if you think about, like, what's your favorite perfume? There's a friend of mine who bought the cologne I had when I was in high school. And he was telling us literally a couple, like a month ago, we were at their house in Boise. And they're like, Corey, I always was embarrassed because I loved your cologne. I almost said my perfume. He's like, I loved your cologne. And I was always jealous when we were in high school, and I always was like, well, we can't wear the same cologne, you know. We're trying to make girls like us or whatever, and if we smell the same, that's weird, you know. And so he's laughing and telling this story, and then Caitlin, his wife, brings it out. She goes, but he's got it now, you know. You're not always around, Corey. And I was like, well, man, I'm taking that. That's mine forever. You know, I don't actually wear that cologne anymore. But we were just laughing about smell and how it draws us in. Emmett, my little boy's over there. Sometimes we walk outside. We have a skunk problem at our house. They kind of kill our chickens and steal their eggs. And it's a pain in the butt. But sometimes Emmett will be like, Dad, the skunk's here. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it is. And I'm like, why do we do that with smell? Like, it's a skunk. Like, why did I take a big whiff of that? I don't know. But smells draw us in. And so we're laughing and all the things are going on. And just one more little illustration. When I was a kid, for 7 years, I rode the bus home to a friend's house because the bus didn't go to my house. And Tracy, their mom, would make these cookies. And you can think of the Tracy in your life right now, real quick. Just, oh yeah, she's making some cookies. And if I focus, I can almost like smell it, like right now. And man, these cookies for the chocolate, she would, instead of using chocolate chips, she would break up Symphony bars before that was a bought out brand or whatever. And there were king sized ones. And man, if you don't know what those are, you just missed out. I'm sorry you didn't have the real Tracy. Like, you get just kind of second best or whatever. You just missed out because they were just next level. I had zero self control with those. And sometimes I just walk in and, oh, yes. I'm so excited. They're still my favorite cookies to this day. And the funny thing is, they lived on a dairy. So I wonder if the different smells like made it like next level there too. Like, not everybody gets that contrast, you know? Maybe with our skunk problem, we should start making some cookies for you guys, and you'll be like, wow, those are the best cookies ever. But it just wasn't fair for everybody. But the thing about Tracy was, it wasn't just her cookies. Like, Tracy was a light for me. And she was like this second mom to me who just loved me always. And man, I would go over to their house and it was like, all I can remember is like being loved. She was so sweet to me. My family wasn't doing super great in some ways, and I was over there hanging, and I probably wouldn't be able to stand up here without that aroma from Tracy. She was just a gem, and here's the deal. It's like, I haven't seen her in a long time, like for a few months. She still lives around here, but yesterday she walks into Prime Man. Yesterday! And I'm sitting there like, what is up? And I start walking towards her, and this is how she walks towards me. Instead of just being like, she's like this. And she just gives me this huge hug. The first thing she does is just give me this huge hug. And the thing is that I'm trying to say is, like, if you are around Jesus, you can't help but smelling like Jesus. And that's who Tracy was for me in my life. And man, I know this sounds a little weird, but actually the smell of dairies, I don't even mind it. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but like, there's something in it for me. I'm like, you know what? I just drive through Jerome. My kids are like, ugh. And I'm like, man, I feel loved right now. Feeling pretty good. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. I've reread these verses a lot for a few reasons, but that term, peddlers of God's word, man, that jumps out at me. I'm kind of standing on a stage. It's a big deal. We need to carry that with wisdom and with grace, and we want grace from you. Man, how can I even stand up here when my doctrine is in process? My understanding of God is in process. My walk is in process. I have to be mindful of this and respond well in the things God's saying. And we might read that line and think of some prosperity guy on TV, you know. Hey, can you sow $1,000 seed, 10x that, man? You're going to be blessed. You just got to look a little harder for it. Oh, yeah. And it's like, that smells bad, like really bad. Like, I can't stand turning on that station. I'm sorry. I know some of those guys are probably wonderful people who also are in process with their doctrine and need a little help there. But I don't like that. That's a bad smell to me, and I do not like it. But man, I just want to encourage you and just maybe even correct you a little bit. Sometimes you wouldn't be manipulated if you knew God's word. Like, sometimes we don't even reject God's word. We just manipulate it a little for ourselves to where it's comfortable. Man, I read that verse, but I'm just going to take it easy a little bit. Man, I think what Paul's saying here is peddlers of God's word here, it's about people who are taking something that belongs to God and is in Christ, and they turn it into something that's all about self. And so can I just encourage you also, the way you don't get manipulated and the way you don't manipulate, it's actually to stop making everything about you all the time. And you are special. You are incredibly valuable. You are gifted and you are called and Jesus loves you. But man, if you are living in your procession and it's in Corey, like man, you are gonna make it. You're gonna manipulate and you're not gonna smell good. We want to smell good. This is a go-to attack from Satan. I don't know if you realize this all the way, but he is so bold in this. He does it to Jesus. So Matthew 4:8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will bow down and worship me." Satan wanted Jesus to bypass surrendering to the Father and what the Father had given him for purpose and calling and everything in the triune God we serve, God himself, and he wanted Jesus to make it all about something else, what Jesus would get. Like, what a strange thing. We are in this battle too, I promise. And it's not the whole think less of yourself, okay? It's not that you're less. It's the combination. It's humble and confidence. And the world doesn't know how to put those together. But man, we get to in Christ. How did Jesus respond? Jesus interrupts that problem with a promise. He says, "It is written." And I know we already said this, but man, you can fight to read and know the word, and that's also how you fight to know the voice of God. We want to hear Jesus. Man, dig into his word and be close to Jesus. The word is living and active, and it is the way Jesus will lead you in triumph. It's the way he's going to lead you through the battle and after the battle. And what Paul says, actually, you know what? Can I just say something real quick? If you're looking at a pastor and you're like, man, they're just making too much money. Man, they just, sorry, this part's not really in my notes. They have too much. I just want to tell you, I've worked at a church before, and I will argue with you if you'd like to. And I just want to say, most pastors probably don't make enough money. And I know there's some that are thinking of themselves too much. I get that. But I just would encourage you to tread with wisdom and grace here, because that call at 2 in the morning is not a fun call. The weight pastors carry is so heavy. If they get some blessing financially and get to take their family on a vacation and get out of Dodge for a second, or maybe their car isn't breaking down on every Sunday morning on their way to church, or maybe they can dress where they don't feel ashamed standing up in front of everybody all the time, that's probably not a bad thing. So can we just clap it up for pastor a little bit? Like, we should probably pay him more. And the cool thing is, if the pastor will land where Jesus and Paul are talking about, Paul says, we speak God's word with sincerity, and we speak it in Christ. And that's the pastor I want to follow. Those are the pastors I want to be next to. Those are the people I want to cheer on and pay more and all the things. It's like, they're sincere and they speak in Christ. Man, do we speak in Christ? It's that whole, like, who is our faith in? And that was our last point that I forgot to tell the sound guys. I kind of should have said it earlier. I'm sorry. Faith in who is our last point. And it's about letting it be all about Jesus and his work through you and for people and out into the world and to God. And that's where the power is. The power is not just standing up here because I have the loudest voice in the room because I have something in my hand. The power is in people coming this morning and praying over you before you even showed up. The power is in a group of friends walking around to every seat and praying over every seat. The power is in the secret place, not in the stage and platforms. Man, that's where God works. And we'll conclude here, and we can have the worship team can sneak up on stage because we're going to end. But man, I love this idea of altar call. And I really do believe next week we're just going to get into, like, how do I get to be a part of what God is doing? And I'm excited for that and still praying and prepping, so pray for me in that. But I actually wanted to say to you, you don't have to wait till next week to be a part of what God is doing. You can respond to what Jesus is speaking to your heart right now, because he is alive and he's the God who speaks and he is here. Why altar call? Well, I want to be very clear. Altar call for us, there is a torn curtain. And the altar is not for you to come up to a place or a thing. Our altar call is so special because it's we come to a person. And his name is Jesus. You can clap for that. That's good. I actually want to ask you to be a little bold. And I know it's scary and crazy, and I haven't done this really when I've been up here preaching or anything like that. But there's this moment, Jesus is talking to people, and he's gathering disciples, and he goes to somebody, and he's like, hey, follow me. And man, he goes to the next person, follow me. Goes to the next person, follow me. And as Jesus is having these people follow him, I never read about the one who was like, Jesus, thank you so much for the invite. Man, I'm going to follow you in my heart. You guys go. You and the other disciples, man, enjoy that little walk you guys are on. No house. Nothing going on. We don't even know where we're going. Just trust in Jesus. But I'm going to follow in my heart. And that, Jesus is like, oh, love that. Great job. No. That is not in Scripture. Because when Jesus speaks, what we get to do is say yes. We get to respond. And so I just want to ask you, during the song they're going to start playing, man, would you listen for his voice? If Jesus is calling you to come up and pray with somebody, don't do it in your heart. Get up. Go pray with somebody. There are people here who would love to pray for you. Man, if you are sick, maybe it's your moment. And I'm not here to like hype you into it. I actually don't love that. That's why I don't normally do this, but I was doing a sermon series called Altar Call, and I did have to wrestle through this with the Lord a little, and I felt like the Lord was like, hey, Corey, I spoke that, and so I want you to say yes to me too. And so as they start playing, you're going to have a moment, and you can come up and talk to somebody. You can stay in your seat, and you can raise your hand for the first time in worship. You can, I don't know, lean over to your neighbor and say, hey, would you pray for me? You can say sorry to somebody. You can send a text like, man, I really think I was supposed to invite somebody to church today and I didn't do it. I had that moment yesterday. I literally was like, I think I'm supposed to invite them to church. And they were leaving and I was like, oh, this is awkward. And I didn't know what to do. And then I went to grab my keys and I lost them. I could not find my keys anywhere. And I was like, oh, I left them when I ordered takeout across the street. And so I called and they're like, no, we don't have your keys. And I was like, can you look again? And they're like, actually, we do have your keys. Is it a Toyota? And I was like, yes. And I was like, I'll be right over. And so I go grab my keys. And as I'm walking back, I run into the people I was supposed to invite to church. And my heart started beating fast. And I was like, I don't know what they think. I don't know what they believe. I don't know them very well, but I really like them. And I was like, I'm trying not to be a sissy right now. You want to come to church? I'm talking tomorrow. It's so bad. And they came. Like, how cool is that? If the Lord is speaking to you, say yes. Get up. Do what he calls you to do. Even for communion today. I know we do communion every week. I love that. Communion's beautiful. It's nice when somebody leads me in communion. Can I just ask you today? Let Jesus lead you in communion. Grab a buddy. Do it by yourself. Whatever. Go grab your communion and do it yourself. Jesus can lead you in it. He kind of started the thing. He's pretty good at it. Lord, would you give us wisdom and understanding? Would you give us a heart that wants to be a part of what you're doing? Would you help us not to be afraid or fear man? The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Thank you for being safe. And thank you for inviting all of us in wherever we're at, Lord. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.